If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. You can hear the smile on my face because basically it was one heck of a victory over the Wisconsin Badgers tonight. Kofi Coburn remains undefeated when he plays the Badgers, 4-0 against them. Kedrick, we're going to be talking a little bit about the game tonight, but let me give an introduction. I'm Mike Kegley, Illini guy, and I am talking with Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting for the Illini guys. What did you see tonight? What stood out to you, Kedrick?
The King. Kofi Coburn, the King. Thoroughly impressed. He was on a mission tonight. And, you know, it's really hard to take away what he did. I was impressed. I mean, he looked hungry. And there's just so many guys that I just think that were MVPs. And, you know, as much stuff and crap and negative things that's been said about Damonte Williams, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't even use the word shut up. Be quiet. Because you know what? He was solid. You know what? When Illinois couldn't get a rebound, he was busting his hump to go get every one of them. And he guarded Mr. All-American that everybody, every time he turned around, you know, they were talking about, held him to 5 of 19 from shooting from the, you know, from the field. You know, I'm going to say it, and I'll say it again. When Damonte and Trent leaves, regardless of who's going to be on that roster next year, the Illinois fans are going to miss him. Damonte was physical. He looked to score. I was just impressed. And even Trent, because Brad Davis, and let's face it, Wisconsin's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the conference. And they were 2-for-24, I believe, or something like that, I think. So I think, well, I guess they made one in the end. But just an all-around performance. I was not concerned about this game. I was concerned about the Northwestern game. I was concerned about Michigan State. I just know that Wisconsin doesn't have a remotely of an answer for Kofi at all. My one concern, which is everybody's concern tonight, wasn't the rebounding for me, because Wisconsin's great at that. The free throw shooting. Not happy about the free throw shooting, Mike. That's going to come to haunt them in the tournament, man. That's when I always say you only got to be good for one day. You shoot the free throws where they shot tonight, you lose games, man.
Well, Kofi did something that was pretty interesting. According to Jared Burson, an ESPN researcher, Kofi Coburn is the first player over the last 10 seasons with 35-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, and 80% shooting in a game against an AP top 25 team.
Ooh,
that, impressive. That is an impressive evening. 16-for-19. I mean, that's like a kicker, you know, doing extra points. I mean, that's just an amazing stat. And then 5-for-9 at the free throw line with an early bad start, you know, and then he kind of recovered. 12 rebounds, and really only 2 turnovers. He had a block. Just an all around excellent night for Mr. Coburn, and it's hard to understate what he does for this team when he plays that effectively.
He makes everyone else around him better. You know, everybody knows, and this is what you have to tip your hat to the assistant coaches, you know, Jeff Alexander, Trent Frazier, and Tim Anderson, and Coach Underwood. They surrounded Kofi with shooters, man. You know, guys that can knock down shots. You pick your poison. And, you know, against good teams, you know, if you double down, I mean, either one of those guys, whether it's Trent, you know, whether it's Alfonso Plummer, You know, even Cabela made one tonight, you know, which I know he improved on, but he hasn't played a lot. They have guys that can, and Jacob Granderson, you know, Luke Goody. They have guys that can just shoot the basketball. So you pick your poison with them. They are a tough matchup. But I'll say this again, no matter how good they look right now, winning in the Big Ten is great, but it's what you're going to do in the postseason. And they have the talent to compete with anybody. I mean, anybody will tell you that. They just got to get that break to get it done because it's there. It really is there.
Well, and I'll tell you what, one of the things that, you know, that came to me when I watched this game and particularly with Kofi, you know, he had a layup that made it 30-28 Illinois. And if you want to go back, you know, in your and watch the game, I think there was like 6:51 in the first half. And I'll tell you what, the footwork that he did to set himself up so that he could kind of, you know, get a basically wall off the defender. The defender had no choice but to either let him score or foul him. And when Kofi gets his footwork together like that, I don't care where he's playing. I don't care if you're playing against, I don't care if you're playing against, you know, Yao Ming in his prime. That it's done when you put a 295-pound body with that type of footwork. And I was really excited. Obviously, Jeff Alexander, you know, and the assistant coaches work an awful lot with Kofi and all the players. But, boy, that had to feel good to watch that move. I don't know if you remember that one, Ked.
Oh, I remember that. And you know what? You're exactly right. Let's give Coach Alexander a ton of credit because he was the guy that was very instrumental in bringing Kofi back. Kofi has made 2 15-foot jump shots in back-to-back games, something that we haven't seen as well. You talk about his footwork. That's that you don't learn that by yourself.
Yep.
That's coaching, and they put him in a good situation to succeed at the next level. Whether he's on any draft boards or not, I don't know. I'll tell you what, as big as he is, and the way the NBA is, he would do really, really well in the NBA. And his free throw shooting has gotten better. I mean, like you said, he struggled early on, but I think he's coming into the game. He was shooting 67%. You know, for most of his career, he's been under 50%. The improvements have been there. I mean, what he asked for from the Illinois staff to improve his game, show people that they could, you know, coach him and make him better, they did that. They really and truly did. And I'm going to give a really, really weird, you know, compliment to a kid that probably only played 3 minutes, but I love this kid as a player and his future is bright. I'm going to say RJ Melendez again. He went right in the game. And he went right to the basket. That kid is going to be a stud before it's all said and done. Mark my words. He's not afraid of anything. He seizes the moment. I love that about that kid.
Yeah, and I enjoyed, like I said, it was a great game for Kofi Coburn. Trent and Plummer were not on. But Trent was giving Davidson all sorts of problems defensively. And I'll tell you, the other player of the game, obviously you can't take anything away from Kofi, but Damonte Williams, you know, that was a heck of a game that he had, 7 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Oh, and by the way, no turnovers. You know, again, it's just another one of those times where, you know, they need a basket and he gets a big time assist. Had a couple nice moves in the lane, and he actually kept going to the basket instead of withdrawing or fading away. And boy, Damonte had a really, really good game. And, of course, before I ask your comment on that, you can hear Damonte every week on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, which is locally in the state of Illinois on 25 stations across the state. Go to our IlliniGuys.com, check the radio button on the homepage. It'll take you to a list of the stations and what time they're on so you can listen to it. But every week we have Damonte Williams on, Damonte's Dimes, and he comes on and talks about the games and what he's doing and kind of some of the practice and what the team's doing. But a heck of a game by him, Ked. What'd you think?
Well, like I mentioned, I got to give kudos to Kofi, but Damonte was just solid. A lot of people when you watch the game, a coach will tell you a good rebounder will go get a rebound. And I don't mean to diminish anything that Kofi does because he's 7'1". He's going to get rebounds by default because he's so big. But yep. An aggressive rebounder, watch a Dennis Rodman or watch a Damonte Williams. No, I'm not comparing the two, so don't tweet at me with that. What I'm saying to you is good rebounders will go get a rebound. They don't just stand there. If you're blocking your man out and you know where the ball's going to go, because that's why Wisconsin's good at it. Damonte was haunting rebounds today, and that's impressive to me. And for a guy to be, like he said on the radio show a couple weeks ago, I think I heard him say he's not 6'5", 6'6". He's not a big kid, but his heart and his strength and the strength program that, Adam Fletcher puts these kids under is tremendous. Even with Trent Frazier, they're just strong guys. Wisconsin couldn't run their swing offense tonight because of Damonte and Trent. And if people want to know what the swing offense is, Wisconsin does a lot of posting their guards up off back picks. They couldn't do that tonight. They weren't even allowed to do that. Yep. They were chasing the ball on the perimeter. That's when you got to look at the game from an X's and O's standpoint. And, when I, wrote a column today talking about Illinois being in a good place, they're competitive. They can compete with anybody in the country. And Damonte does things that no one else on that court would do. I know you asked about Damonte. He does little things that other people don't see. And again, that's going to stink when he's no longer there.
Yeah, because there's not going to be that guy who gets, you're like, oh gosh, we need a rebound. It seems like that's when Damonte comes through and, oh man, we really need to score. And Damonte ends up, with the dunk against Northwestern, or he ends up driving and then finding the open man. He's in the middle of stuff when the team needs him the most.
Let me ask you, when that play at the free throw line, when you knew he got pulled down, did you think it was against Damonte or what? Because he's typically the guy that's
always. I always want it. Let's put it this way. Damonte, has a trait. Like he's a little bit like Pete Rose. He plays just as hard as he needs to. And a little bit like Brad Davison does, they're tough competitors that the other team hates. And so I wanted to see the play. And then when I saw the play, it was clear that he didn't do it. And so I was relieved, but you never know. He's going to play as hard as he can. And a lot of times, I'm going to give people a little bit of a weird example here, but when you watch like the Avengers movies for Marvel, you got Thor who's got his hammer and he's the God of Thunder, and you got the Hulk who's the strongest one there is. And then there's Captain America. And he doesn't have all the powers that the rest of the Avengers have, but what Captain America has is his superpower is he wins. He finds a way to get his team to win. And really, Damonte Williams is a little bit like Captain America. He does the stuff that they need to do to win. He's not the Hulk. He's not Thor, but he's always on the winning team. And when the big decisions get made and the big parts of the fight happen, always Captain America in the middle of it. And Damonte is the same way on a basketball court. Now, Ked, I know you go to Marvel movies. What do you think of that analogy?
I'll tell you right now, I'm impressed. I've known you for about a year and a half now, and I'll tell you what, that's the best quote I think I've ever heard from you, because I'll tell you, dude, that's awesome. That's a very, very good comparison. I'm a huge Marvel fan, and you're right. He's the Captain America of the group. He's not the Hulk, because he's not strong, he's not Spider-Man or any of that. He's just the glue guy that does it. And we're not saying this, guys, because he comes on our radio show weekly. Just look at what he does. And if you really want to know what people think of Damonte Williams, especially after this game, the Big Ten Network comes on after every game. Listen to the announcers or the guys who are hosting the show, and they're obviously talking about Kofi. A lot of they're talking about the other person they're talking a lot about is Damonte and Trent because of what he brings to the table. And two of the guys that's on the broadcast tonight play Division I basketball, and they'll tell you, what Damonte is doing and what Trent's doing is hard. And Coach Underwood has every reason and every right in this world to complain nationally about his team and people not giving him credit. Because I can assure you this, you know, if you want to take a step back, look how well of a job Damonte did against Jaden Ivey against Purdue. I mean, look at his numbers. It's going to take a special person to just dominate against Damonte and Trent. It really is.
Yeah, well, when you look at Brad Davison and Johnny Davis, they were a combined 8 for 31 from the field, a combined 1 for 11 from the three, and they were 12 for 15 from the free throw line. And Johnny Davis got bailed out on at least 4 drives that you wouldn't see those calls go to a kid in AAU ball. It'd be like, dude, you're just jumping into people. They'd call travel. They'd call a charge. They'd call something, you know. And I thought he got bailed out a little bit. But again, when you look at the defense that Damonte and Trent put on those two, Davis got his 22. Although again, if you give me 14 free throws, I'm gonna score at least. I'm gonna make at least 11 of them, which takes you halfway to 22. But the bottom line is you know, those guys, when you score 22 points on 19 shots, that's not a good night.
No.
And that was always the difference for me between Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan would score the points with about a third less shots than Kobe needed to score the same amount. Go ahead.
If I were to give him credit for one thing, it's his rebounding.
Oh, that my gosh. He was amazing. He had 15 boards.
Yeah, that I'll give him credit for. But I was kind of, you know, tired of hearing about him and, you know, he's, you know, 1 for 75 from the field. His rebounding is good. He's a good player. And not just because tonight, I'll eliminate Kofi from the pitcher. I don't know why everybody – he's good, don't get me wrong – why people are just giving him the Big Ten National Player of the Year award. I think there's other players in the conference who are equally as good and equally as talented. I mean, they talked about they were scoring, 30-some points against Ohio State. Kofi had 38 this year, I believe, already. I mean, I think what's happening here is that people take him for granted. I think they just think, oh, it's Kofi, and this is what he's going to do. And I think it's easy to fall in love with the little wings and guards, but at the end of the day, you know, he's the most dominant big man in all of college basketball. I sit there and you watch. I saw, you know, they had a list of Big Ten, all the first team all Big Ten. No disrespect to Zach Edey. I mean, I'm sorry. He's not an all Big Ten player. Dude is 7'4", man. He is not one. I'm not sold on him. I mean, if I had to pick and choose, I'd take Kofi every day. You know, yeah, he outplayed Kofi. Kofi was in foul trouble. I hope he's a little different player, you know, when they go to Purdue.
Yeah, well, I do think, and now that I've had an opportunity to see Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, and Johnny Davis, I would put Ivey and Murray significantly above Davis as basketball players. And more importantly, if you're looking at an NBA prospect, Jaden Ivey and I think Murray will end up being much better players than Johnny Davis. I think Johnny Davis may be a better college player than them. But some of the things that you're going to do, you can't drive in the middle of a lane the NBA game with the athletes that you see on the court and jump up in the air and have a referee give you a foul call. Nope. And so, you know, that shooting percentage, you know, he wouldn't get 14 free throws, you know, with what we just saw on display. Now, again, it wasn't his best game and Trent really made him work. But just now, maybe I'll change my mind after, you know, going through the Big Ten again. But if you ask me, I would say Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, much higher on the NBA prospect chart. You know, if I was going to draft a guy, I'd have a hard time putting Johnny, you know, in the first round. But I would have no problem putting Jaden Ivey or Keegan, you know, in the top in the lottery probably.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. And if you really think about it, and, you know, we're giving Damonte credit and how well he plays defense. And I don't know. I mean, are they going to do well in the NBA? Because Damonte held both of those guys. And even Keegan Murray, when they went to Iowa City, I mean, I didn't forget that Keegan got a lot of buckets, like, within the last 5 minutes.
Yep.
But he did a very good job on him as well. So, I don't know. I mean, the NBA is a funny game. And we've all seen that with Iodesumu because, obviously, that there was a mistake. And, you know, Coach Donovan talked about that last night in the Bulls win. It was a mistake. People look at this upside, but you can't judge a person's heart and their desire to win. And, I mean, so I'm not upset with those kids. I'm not saying that those kids are great basketball players. And I know you're not saying that either, but quit taking Kofi for granted. And my comment, I know you didn't ask me about this. Now they're starting to talk about the coach of the year. And it's okay to give everybody a nod except for Brad Underwood. Why not Brad Underwood? Tom Izzo has won an award when he was supposed to be good. You know, I get Greg Dark. People picked him to be 10th in the conference. I understand that. Brad Underwood was supposed to win, and he has not had a full roster. This is the third game, I believe, where Kofi and Curbelo played with each other. And Curbelo, played 11 or 12 minutes tonight?
Yeah, he played 11.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you got to reward the guy as well. I mean, just don't take him for granted. And I think Coach Underwood deserves it. Look where the program was in 5 years and where it is now. They're competing for another Big Ten title again, just like last year and the year before.
Yeah, you know, Coach Underwood is probably slightly a victim of his own success in the regular season, so they're kind of starting to take it a little bit for granted. And then also a victim of not having the run in the tournament, because 2 years ago the tournament was canceled. Last year you went 1-1 with the fluky Loyola loss. And so I think one of the things that Coach Underwood, you know, needs to have happen, and this is not anything that is, you know, that you know, his fault, so to speak, but they need to make a run in the tournament this year to get named, you know, in some of these, you know, maybe to go past the for granted thing. And I also think, you know, that the team suffers from not having made a run, you know, and I think that's where things are a little bit different, you know, because a lot of people that, you know, to make it to the Sweet 16 gives you that extra 4 or 5 days of coverage from the media. And that makes a huge difference for your program. And I'm really hoping Illinois can play well that first weekend, get a couple wins under their belt, get into the Sweet 16, see if they can get a couple more. But that media coverage, you know, that's what it's all about. Because, as you know, from a recruiting standpoint, most of the kids, I'm not going to say everybody, but most of the kids who are big time basketball recruits, they don't watch college basketball except maybe top 10 matchups. They watch the NBA until the tournament, the conference tournaments, and the NCAA tournament. And I think that will pay a lot of dividends for recruiting, and it'll also be good for the program, too, to start getting a little deeper into that tournament.
I'd have to agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, rankings doesn't matter. It does, and it does to the kids. Because if you're ranked, you know, you're going to get the coverage not just from the Big Ten Network. You're going to get it from Fox Sports 1. You're going to get it from ESPN. Every basketball, the SEC network, when they go to the rankings, you're going to see that. You're going to see your program up there. And recruits do look at that. And if they don't, I know the parents do, because it does matter. You know,
yep.
Like tonight, all you heard was the hype was two top 20 teams in the country. Well, if Illinois wasn't ranked, then it's okay. Wisconsin should come in and they should blow Illinois out. That stuff does matter. And they do need that run, because you're going to get that extra week of people talking about them as players and the program, and you call recruits, right, you know, when it's hot, because the recruiting is the fruit of every program, you know, and even the recruits that they have signed right now, they're big time recruits. And so, you know, this is the good time, and, you know, it's a good time if you're a fan. It's a good time to cover the program. I enjoy covering them, and, you know, they seem like they're having fun, and Coach Underwood's calling me. He's making all the right calls. And you know, I know a lot of people are going to ask about Coleman Hawkins tonight. He didn't play the second half, and I don't know what the situation was with that, but I'm sure Coach Underwood would probably ask about it, and I'm sure he'll have a reason for it. And whatever reason that is, people need to respect it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, sports at its best is a meritocracy. And, you know, you go out there and a coach sees what you've got and then determines if he's able to play you that night. And ultimately, you know, Coach Underwood and Coach Gard the same way, you know, they're committed to making sure that they do what they think puts their team in the best place to win the game. And actually what I really would commend the Illinois staff for doing is Curbelo played well, but I think limiting him to 11 minutes as he comes back and as he builds his wind and his physical conditioning, I think that's a good thing because I don't know that he can come out and play as many minutes as he did against Purdue until he gets more time to work on that conditioning. Just, you know, it's a human body. There's limits to it, and he's got to work it back into shape because of the forced inaction that was put on him by the concussion protocol.
I'll tell you what, boy, he's just different. That kid can make passes, and, you know, you take it and you live with the bad ones, but, oh, my goodness, man, he makes them better. I mean, anybody who thinks that Curbelo doesn't make them better, they're kidding themselves. It's hard because, you know, he'll do two or three or four good things, and, you know, you might as well expect one or two bad ones. So I just – but when he does do something – it's unique, and he just looks so comfortable doing it. And players, his presence on the court makes everybody, you can see, I mean, they look, you know, relaxed. You know, Kofi getting that, you know, that pick and roll, you know, and, you know, Kofi's had problems in the past catching passes like that. I just think having a kid like that on your roster, and also it gave Trent a break, you know, because I think he has been playing a ton of minutes, and that was the other important thing about having him back.
Yeah, I think that was probably the most important thing is getting Trent the ability. You know, he played 33 minutes, and that's much better than having him play the full 40. And I thought that was good. The other thing that Curbelo can do, and I'm not saying Curbelo is a lockdown defender such as Trent or Demonte, but if Plummer isn't shooting hot and you need to put a guy in who can do a little bit better on the defensive side, but still threaten the offense, the defense at the other end of the court, Curbelo's great because he can come in and if somebody is picking on Plummer, they can put Curbelo in for a change of pace. And while he may not light people up from the three as often as Alfonso does, you know, he does drive to the basket and dish, like you said, and make it a whole different type of game. So the last thing here is any end thoughts as we kind of wrap this up for Illini fans? You know, the thing that I'm thinking of is, you know, it's pretty amazing, but just in three short days, you know, the Illini are going to have to dig out of the snow and ice and make it over to Bloomington for a clash on Saturday against the Hoosiers. And that is an 11 a.m. game on Saturday that'll be on ESPN for a national audience. And to me, it's like, wow, hard to believe that we're really getting into the teeth of a pretty tough week. They'll play Indiana on Saturday and then turn around and play Purdue on Tuesday. So there's no rest for the Illini. They've got some tough games coming up.
This is one of the reasons you and I are friends. You asked me what I thought to close, and I was just going to say that. They have to go to Indiana, and now they have to go to Purdue, Mike. I mean, that's what I was going to close with because, I mean, Indiana's gotten better. They are not the same team, and it's a road game. And if that crowd gets rocking, that's a tough place to play at. They're going to have to win one of those games, or then they'll get Northwestern, or maybe I think Rutgers, and then you got to go to Michigan State. This is a tough part of the schedule, which is why I thought the Purdue loss at home stung, and also the Maryland loss.
Yeah.
You know, the Maryland loss was worse. You're going to have to win one of those games. You cannot go to Indiana and to Purdue and to Michigan State and lose. I do think, and I know they're capable of beating those teams. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, Michigan State went to Wisconsin and won. So it is doable. You just have to have that luck. And, you know, like Coach Underwood said, defense carries, and you have to be able to make shots and make free throws and limit your mistakes. Can't turn the ball over 15 times, expect to win on the road 20 times. So they're going to have to get one. Out of those three road games, I at this point right now, because I know Indiana is licking their chops, I would think probably Michigan State is probably the easier place to play. And that sounds really stupid because Purdue is going to have that place rocking because they're creeping back up. Purdue is peaking right now, and it's very, very noticeable. They're blowing people out. Michigan State struggled, you know, to beat Maryland this week, and that's – I mean, Michigan State's good. Don't get me wrong, but I just think Illinois and Purdue, to me, talent-wise, they're the two best teams in the Big Ten, and can't forget about Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, and E.J. DeLiddell, you know, he gives that team a chance to beat anybody. So they're really, like I said, there's no easy games, you know, because you don't know which Rutgers team's going to show up. Northwestern has proven what they can do when you go into East Lansing and win. And I'll be honest with you, I keep watching Penn State on the nights that they just don't know quite how to win yet, but they're really close. And I'm not particularly – Michigan scares me because you and I both know when you have a young team, about one or two games a year, they gel and they play like they're a little older. And I just don't want to play Michigan on the night that that happens.
Exactly. I'm not impressed with them, but you're right. It only takes one night to get hot and have their career night. And I know what they're going to be thinking. You know, Hunter Dickinson will be back, so, and it's at their place. But Illinois is pretty confident on the road. I mean, they bring that swagger on the road, and that's a everyday guy, as Coach Underwood uses, you know, with that cliche, with that hashtag. They're going to compete on the road. I mean, and he told us after the Maryland game, his teams will compete. They're not going to roll over and play dead anymore. They're going to play hard.
Yep. Well, with that, Ked, thank you so much for coming on. I know it's just crazy weather. Make sure you stay safe up there in the frozen north. And, of course, folks who are listening to this, this is the Illini Guys, Eye on the Illini. And we also have other podcasts that you might want to take a listen to. Sturdy for 30 is probably our biggest brand out there. Brad Sturdy, the Uber insider for the Illini, will give you all sorts of insight, and we'll also get other media people involved and a lot of people at the University of Illinois. Always fun with good guests. Ked's Recruiting Roundup, that's Kedrick Prince, our guest here tonight, has some fascinating stuff. Just had one with Illini's newest commitment and signee, Xavier Scott, on the football side. It was very much worth listening to. And you really get to hear on his recruiting roundup the point of view of coaches who are involved in the recruiting process, players and family members. Gives you an angle that you really can't find anywhere else. So please take a look at the Illini Guys family of podcasts. And then, of course, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, you get a free 7-day trial, and then you can sign up for a year. It's only $99. And when you get that, you get all the stories, you get all the inside recruiting, and folks, you can go to the message boards, and then you find out all the news that maybe can't be put to print, and you get ideas of what's going on behind the scenes. It's a fantastic way to educate yourself on all things Illini. And if you're an Illini fan, or if you have a friend who's an Illini fan, it makes a fantastic birthday gift, anniversary gift, Valentine's Day gift, any holiday you can think of, we can figure out that maybe a Groundhog's Day gift. But please go there and take a look at this. And we are certainly thankful that you tuned in tonight. And of course, we will be with you again on Saturday as we are hopefully covering an Illini road victory over the hated Hoosiers. With that, thank you very much and have a fantastic day.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.